Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It is time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I'm in the mood for a little escapism today. You know, we've got a potential impeachment or other things going on. We've got, you know, people being jailed. So, you know what? We can make this just an hour or so of just, you know, good old fashioned Hallmarkness.
It's the perfect time for Lacey Chabert to just take us away.
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, she's back. We haven't seen Lacey in a while.
It seems like maybe she sat out the holiday season so they could use her as like the kickoff of 2020.
Because even when I saw her,
I mean 2021.
I was like, oh, rather. Hi, Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, I missed her, and she always goes to these wonderful places that. When she's there, I want to go there.
Now, I've noticed a little trope that is only a Lacey Chabert trope.
What is that?
The Lacey Chabert trope is there's always relatives giving her parcels of land.
Yeah.
Like, remember there was the relative that gave her the African safari place? Someone give her like a chocolate something factory or something?
Did they give her some? I remember she went to Bruges, right?
Yeah.
Right.
She went to Brussels.
So that's the Lacey, that's the exclusive Lacey Chabert trope is relatives give her things in exotic locales or vacation destinations.
Yes.
Yeah. She inherits hurts places.
She does. I don't know if it's because she's kind of the queen of Hallmark, but she does always get the best locales for her movie because her movies are always shot on location and not in Canada.
Right. Because I was like, they are definitely in Vail.
Yeah.
They were because in the credits, they actually listed the background people and I did look them up.
I thought that was weird. I noticed that too. I've never seen the background actors get credit because you're usually booked through a different agency than does the regular the speaking roles. And that's kind of the part of the deal is like, oh, you know, your background, you're getting paid a little bit. You get to be on set, but you're not really one of the stars.
They were using locals in Vail.
But since their name is in the credit, these background actors could use this on their resume, right?
Yeah, but these are local people in Vail, so they're probably not. There probably isn't a casting agency in Vail. There might be, but I don't think they're doing a lot of business.
I bet there's some sort of like little agent there that does like print and stuff like that. And every now and then, when something shoots in town, that's the agent that has all the actors that they can refer.
And Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So one of them is an entertainment journalist who's in Vail. I looked her up. One of them's name is Will Licking, and I couldn't find him on Facebook. But Will Licking, and there's one I couldn't find. But then I found this woman, and she had just recently gone to some kind of water fundraising event hosted by this other guy who was doing background who I couldn't find on Facebook. So I was able to find. So apparently they're all hanging out together.
But so what I was going to say is I bet like with the resorts and businesses, I bet they have like local commercials.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were treating it like this was a small – one horse town. And, you know, Vail is probably smaller than some resort cities, but it is still a resort town. It is still a travel and tourism industry there. So there's definitely more people than they were implying live there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, before we get into it, Kurt, do you have any Black China news?
China.
Oh, yes, that's China.
I have to have my China. China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
From theblast.com, once again, reliably, Nicki Minaj is teasing her fans by documenting a play date with Black China. The 38-year-old rapper delighted her followers when she took to social media over the weekend and dropped a stunning selfie with the real Black China star. Looking fresh-faced and beautiful, Nicki Minaj and Black China prove that double the trouble isn't always a bad thing. Turning the camera on herself, the Roman's Revenge rapper posed alongside BC for a sultry car selfie. But this isn't a new friendship, as the ladies go way back. The beauties have known each other for over a decade after Black China stepped in as Nicki Minaj's body double in Kanye West's 2010 Monster music video. The stars met up again when Black China did a cameo for Nicki Minaj's Rake It Up music video with Yo Gotti years later. While they were racing Lamborghinis in tight latex dresses back for the video 2017, the duo teamed up once again with their selfies drumming up a lot of questions. Wearing minimal makeup, the new mom flaunted her perfect skin alongside Black China, who looked equally gorgeous. Sporting a colorful sweater with a matching scarf over her hair, Nicki Minaj made sure to clasp her blinged-out Barbie necklace around her neck for good measure.
Oh.
Black China flaunted her hourglass curves in the passenger seat of the car. Wearing only a tight white shirt, their casual Saturday selfie has fans wondering if their date was more than just a catch-up between friends. Whatever the reason, neither Nicki Minaj nor Black China are giving any answers. Brought out the pink today. At Black China, Nicki Minaj captioned their car selfie. Barbie and China doll at Nicki Minaj, Black China wrote. Interestingly enough, both ladies have been busy with lawsuits lately. As the Blast reported, Nicki Minaj just agreed to pay fellow singer Tracy Chapman $450,000 to settle a copyright lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Oh. She got a fast car. Black China recently sued several outlets over false quote-unquote false drug allegations. Regardless of the reasoning, fans are losing their minds over the attention-grabbing shot.
I know 1,000% why you picked this story, Kurt, because Les would have been very upset if we didn't get an update on what looks Black China was sporting as they were writing about her.
Exactly.
This was overflowing with details about outfits that Black China was wearing.
Yes. Good. I'm glad. Yes.
Yeah, theblast.com always they're pretty reliable with this news, with they give us what we want.
Well, it looked like Black China's on the come up.
Why do you say
she's
that?
She's on the come up?
Because I have a Black China announcement myself.
Oh.
China. I have to have my China. China!
And now, the Black China Report.
Here's Les Gherkin O'Barrett.
The show, the reality show, The Real Black China, that debuted on Zeus TV, is receiving a come up because the show, The Real Black China, has been picked up by WE TV. Wow. Which we all know about WE TV, right?
That's a step up, right?
That is definitely a step up.
A total step up.
It's a network people have heard of versus one that people don't even know where you could get it if they had heard of it.
Right. Like even Wendy Williams didn't know how to get a hold of Zeus TV.
That's exciting.
But yeah, so starting January 14th, which is in a couple of days, The Real Black China starts airing on WE TV at 7 p.m.
Are we going to have to start watching that now, too?
I'm going to take one for the team, and I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
I'm going to take one for the team.
I might get WE TV, too. I don't know.
You probably do. Isn't that part of your basic cable package? I think it is.
Depends on what tier you have and what your cable provider is. Not every cable provider carries it, and not everyone would keep it in like their basic package.
Right. But yeah, you know, Black China So yeah, Black China's been getting, and I found out about this on Wendy Williams. And Wendy Williams has been talking a lot about Black China lately. 2 days in a row, she's talked about Black China. You know, yesterday she talked about Black China getting her jaw done, like some plastic surgery to get her jaw done. Today she was talking about how Black China like called her on the phone. So, you know, you go, Black China.
I don't know if somebody Black calling China. You on the phone is necessarily newsworthy.
Well,
if any of us got a call from her, it would be news.
Well,
yeah,
on our show.
I would be, I guess, news on our show if she called us, but not news that she got a phone call or vice versa.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Maybe it was a landline.
Like if I get a telemarketer, I'm not reporting it here on A Lifetime of Hallmark.
But we're talking about Wendy Williams. That phone call was part of Wendy Williams' Hot Topics.
Yeah, but they're friends, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess they are. Yeah.
No, they're friends. She calls, as a matter of fact, Wendy Williams calls her Angela.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is, by the way, her government name, Angela White.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, I saw an interview with the guy who plays Johnny in Cobra Kai, and he's talking about Elizabeth Shue. He called her Lori. He's like, yeah, Lori, hanging out with Lori. Is that what it was? Elizabeth, or maybe
Lisa.
It was Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, I saw that clip too.
When I watched the Cobra Kai after show, the one that's hosted by
David Spade.
David Spade. They were calling her, they were all on the show, and they were calling her Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Lisa. That's interesting. Yeah,
which makes sense because her name is Elizabeth, but it's spelled with an S, not a Z.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa. I finished watching Cobra Kai, so I saw what Lisa did on the show. And I think what they should have done was she should have gone all Linda Hamilton. She should have gotten bulked up, done like 4 hours of kung fu training for a day for a year and come back, and she should have been like the karate master. And she could have kicked Kreese's ass.
Well, you never know. It's open-ended. It's an open-ended exit.
Season 4, that could happen.
Right? Her and Hilary Swank could like have a girl power karate studio.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them are doing that.
I bet you Hilary Swank will come back. If not next season, the season after.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like the show is big in the pop culture pantheon. I don't think it's prestigious. Like, she's won 2 Academy Awards. I don't think she's doing Cobra Kai, which I love, but is terrible.
Well, but you know, it'll get her a new audience with the kids.
Yeah. And if there's a demand, how often is there a demand? We're not looking for $1 million baby, too. I guess it'd be kind of hard to pull that off.
I would call it $2 million baby.
Speaking of demand, Kirk, do you guys get your SAG screeners yet?
I've been watching them. I watched the screening, so I didn't get anything in the mail or anything, but they've got screenings. So I watched that Jodie Foster movie about Guantanamo Bay. I watched that one.
Are they just announcing them on the website or whatever then?
Yeah, you don't get those emails?
Yeah, I get like 10 emails a day about like virtual. Yeah. Like they basically are all the Q&As that they normally do in person. They're doing them all virtually this year. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to be sending out any hard copy DVDs because why would they spend that kind of money this year?
I guess I better read my emails.
I've watched like 6 movies. I watched that Sofia Coppola, Bill Murray, On the Rocks.
Oh, I watched that one. It was kind of boring.
Yeah. It was good. It was all right. I watched a movie called Herself, but the Irish woman who builds her own house. I think it's called Ammonite with, what's her name from Titanic?
Is that the lesbian romance or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't expect that.
The only Oscar contender that I am dying to see this year is Promising Young Woman. That's the one with Carey Mulligan. Okay. Uh-huh. It looks fantastic.
I have that movie, The Sound of Something. The Sound of Metal. I'm going to be watching that.
Oh, I watched that. Okay. It's really good. I really liked it. It's really good. I think you'll like it.
Well, you know what isn't good? I feel like we should get into the movie.
This movie.
We're just pumping up Lacey Chabert, and now here we are.
I love Lacey.
I love Lacey Chabert.
My feeling on this movie, and I'll just put it up out there right up front, I didn't think it was bad. It was just blah.
I just like Lacey, and I just like Lacey and the places she takes us. I want her to take me away.
Yeah.
She can. Really, if she came by right now, if she knocked on the door and said, let's go, I wouldn't say where. I would just go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think anybody would blame me.
No, I can't blame you.
Well, okay, so let's get started then, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Winter and Vale. Now, did we discuss this off air or on air about the Lacey Chabert trope?
I think we discussed it right now.
Yeah, I think that was here on the podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes we'll have like little convos right before we start recording, and then we can't remember, wait, was that in the show, or were we saying, oh, we should talk about that in the show. So we talked about
it. So yeah, so this is like the Lacey Chabert trope that is only Lacey Chabert is relatives give her land,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in exotic locations.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. you know, she got the African wildlife preserve. Mm-hmm. She got a candy factory, and now she's getting a candy factory in Bruges.
Yeah.
And now she's getting a ski lodge in Vail.
And the go ahead, Kurt.
I was gonna say, it's a huge promotion. Like, this is a big push for Vail, Colorado.
Yeah.
In this movie.
So
and I would say the guy that plays the male lead in this, the last time we saw him, he was playing a contractor in that movie as well. So he's got his own little tropes going too.
Right. The grouchy contractor.
Yeah. He plays a contract. Like, he only does home improvement projects in the Hallmark movies.
Yes. And he's always, and he has, yeah, he's very grouchy. He's always very grouchy in all of his movies.
I have to come up with a niche.
Right.
What could I be? I could be a surly lumberjack.
See, there you go. There you go.
You could be the person at Costco that goes up for seconds of free samples.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's even better.
And they'll go, have you just here, sir?
What was that list you cut out there?
Sir, this is not a meal. This is for everyone. You've got to save some for everyone.
Let me tell you something. I've had that gig where I've actually worked in Costco's giving out that food. So I've been on the other side.
Do you have that one person that was just a pig?
Yeah. Some woman said she hadn't had lunch. She kept eating it. Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Like, when you come back like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And you're just like, just take the tray. Just take it.
Twice. No. I didn't have lunch. Well, you just told me you only had it twice. You've been here like 6 times.
Right. You're embarrassing yourself.
Oh, shit. business.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
So we see Vail. We see Vail, but then we quickly learn that we're not actually at Vail. We are at a pitch meeting in Los Angeles.
I don't think that was Vail that we were seeing, because there was a castle. There was a giant castle.
Oh, okay. But it was mountainous. It was mountainous and snowy.
It was wintry.
Yes. And so we see Lacey, because, you know, she is the grand dame of Hallmark. She's the queen. She's everyone's boss. Candace Cameron Bure, Winnie Cooper, Tatiana Ali, Jack Hay, all of them. Lacey is the ruler of that channel.
I do what she says.
So Lacey, otherwise known as Chelsea, is giving her spiel. It looks like she's being pretty successful doing the spiel. She has ideas for her boss, Trish. Trish is not having her at all. Trish basically like blows her off.
Yeah, so Lacey works for like an events company, which is a big Hallmark trope that we're seeing more and more. They plan events, but it's some sort of giant events firm. I didn't know that was a thing.
I guess. Maybe because it was like commercial events or something.
Maybe it's like an arm of a PR firm or something.
Hmm. Yeah. So.
And there were some terrible hairstyles in that boardroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, okay. Like, Chelsea's friend, her best friend, Vienna, that was an awful wig.
Yeah. She had. I couldn't figure out her name at first because it sounded like they said Vanna, then it sounded like they said Vienna, and then I think they called her Fiona.
What was it?
I think it was Fiona.
I didn't even catch what it was.
So Chelsea's worried, right? And then Vienna comes up to her and says, "Listen, Chelsea, I was eavesdropping, and I overheard your name mentioned in a conversation. Now, the rules of eavesdropping is you don't tell the other person that you caution unless you overhear the full conversation."
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And before you tell the person the conversation you heard, you make them swear on their life that they're not going to go to the person talking about them and say, "Vienna told me that you said blah, 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 blah." No.
Also, Fiona's information was from like some security guard or something, wasn't it?
What's that?
I said Fiona's information that she was passing along to Chelsea, wasn't it from like a security guard or something?
Really?
Oh no, because she said that she overheard the boss talking to someone else.
Yeah, but yeah, she heard from the security guard who heard the boss talking to somebody.
I think she read it.
Okay, then that was like that was a major faux pas.
Yeah.
Because you don't repeat secondhand eavesdropping information.
Oh, it was terrible.
You only repeat the information that you heard, because 9 times out of 10, most likely the person who you tell like what you've eavesdropped on is going to go to the other person and say, "Oh, well, you know, she said that she heard you say blah, 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 blah." And you got to be able to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you warn the person and say, "Listen, I'm going to tell you this, but if you go back and tell them that I told you this, I'm going to deny everything and make you look really stupid."
I think she read it off the bathroom wall. Somebody scrawled it on the wall in feces. But I'll tell you something else. This is another trope now. It's like there's always like somebody's always working in a job, some big job they don't really like, but there's big opportunities for them at this job, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do we even say the news that Chelsea was told? Do we even say it?
Oh, that she was up for vice president.
Yeah. Oh, before we move on, so backing up just a second to the boardroom, like where they were having their big presentation pitch. I'm going to send you guys a photo. Look at this photo I just sent you, because I took a screenshot of what was on the screen during this pitch. And at the very end of the table are two guys sitting across from each other, and one of them is totally looking away from the presentation.
Oh.
And to me, when I looked at that, I was like, "Oh, they're a couple, and they're having a fight right now."
Right? Because the one got the back of his head to the camera.
Yeah, the one is like watching the meeting, but like it looks like he's doing it passive aggressively. And the other one is like, "I am not looking in your direction because I am mad at you right now."
Right? Like it's like I can't even look at you right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna post that on our Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark. It's these two guys at the meeting. Look, like they are clearly a couple and clearly having a fight.
And I can't even look at you right now. Wait till we get home.
Here. Well, they need to be professional.
Yeah.
True. So then right after Vienna tells Chelsea that she's up for the VP position, Trish comes into the room. And Trish is like, I need to talk to you. And so Chelsea's ready for the good news. And then Trish is like, you know what, Chelsea, your pitch was great. I loved it. And Chelsea's like, oh, wonderful. And Chelsea gets the look on her face is like, okay, she's going to ask me right now. And then Trish is like, I got to talk to you about something. Like, I got to tell you something very important. And then Trish then breaks the news to Chelsea that she wants Chelsea to take care of the new hire, who, by the way, is getting the VP position. So sorry, Chelsea, you're shit out of luck. Now, Chelsea's pissed, right? And then... Yeah.
And she should be.
Yeah.
Is she, like, usually in the Hallmark movie, somebody's at least given an opportunity to go for that promotion that they end up giving to somebody else. They didn't even talk to her about a promotion being a possibility. It was just like, no. Yeah, we gave it to this other guy who we never see in the movie.
No. She's supposed to show him around. Like, she's supposed to be like his girlfriend for the day, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like on that movie 9 to 5 when Lily Tomlin... she was the one that trained Mr. Hart, but then he ended up becoming her boss. It's kind of like that.
I think it's more like the movie Horror with Teresa Russell from the 80s.
You know, do like not know that movie.
Prostituted. She's like being prostituted out. All right, that's enough shock value for the night.
So then Vienna and Chelsea are having lunch at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. And I was like, oh, well, get you girls. Mm-hmm. Which is the Pretty Women Hotel for all of you who don't know. And it's very, I went to a cocktail party there once in the bar. And yeah, it ain't cheap. Yeah. So Chelsea and Vienna are talking. Chelsea's talking about her crappy life. Then, of course, then we get the message, one of the messages of the movie, because the waitress comes up to Chelsea and she's like, the usual, you know, salad with dressing on the side. So then Chelsea starts to go in on, hey, everything is the same and I need to get out and I need to expand and, you know, that whole thing. And so then Vienna gives Chelsea a letter and she's like, oh yeah, Chelsea, this came for you. And Chelsea opens up the letter and discovers that, oh my God, my Uncle Grady has left me a chalet in Vail.
I see dead people.
Well, right.
Yeah.
When I heard Grady, my head almost exploded. Now, here's the problem. We had a meeting off the air. We're supposed to kind of scale back a little bit, knock it off track. And then I hear Grady. I'm like, well, how am I going to achieve this?
Well, I didn't say we should never do that. Go ahead. Give us your best Sanford and Son material. Go for it.
Well, and it's not only that. It's Grady from Sanford and Son. I just watched Boys in the Hood recently. Grady, the guy who's Grady, he's in that too. But it's also the caretaker in The Shining, the one who kills his family before Jack Nicholson and those people arrive.
It's great.
So it's like I don't even know where to go with all this.
Is that a nickname for something? Like, you know how Dot is short for Dorothy or something like that? Like, is Grady short for something? What kind of name is that?
I don't know.
Googling it right now.
Okay.
Grady. What would it be short for?
Grady. I think, well, you know what, though?
Grady Atkins.
I knew a woman. I went to acting school with a woman, and her last name was Grady.
Her last name. Okay. We know a guy named Grady. Oh, I don't know if you know him, but I know someone whose last name is Grady.
Okay, here we go. No, not Brady. God damn it.
Grady. Growing up Grady.
I said Grady. No, I
the Grady,
Grady and the then Grady my phone button. Auto-corrected it to Brady.
They should do a Grady remake of the Brady
Bunch. Grady is a masculine given name of Irish origin, derived from the Irish word grata, which means noble.
Wait, so Grady on Sanford and Son was Irish?
Black Irish.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Red in the Shawshank Redemption, he was Irish.
Okay.
Black Irish, right? Yeah. If you said less.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, there's just so Grady, and she keeps bringing up Grady.
Yeah,
his own show.
So then, she then says that, you know, she had always wanted to go to visit him at the ski lodge, and he was always inviting her, but she was always very busy.
Mm-hmm. Too late because now.
They very, Hallmark very, very briefly mentioned an ex-boyfriend named Bryce, too. They glazed right over that, and they never brought it back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because her life had been a real, really problematic.
Yeah,
she had car trouble. There's a rent hike.
Yeah. Right.
Which today that doesn't. There's a lot worse things going on.
Yeah.
I heard that,
Chelsea.
I envied her. I was like, oh, wow, you have a life.
And also, I feel like mentioning all those things, a breakup and car trouble and rent hike, those fly in the face of, oh, my life is so routine and I do the same things all the time. I feel like those are all monkey wrenches into that routine.
Right.
Was a jump.
What was that, Kurt? You cut out.
Man. No, sorry. I think my voice cut out. That's okay.
Oh, okay. So Chelsea's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm sick of this. And I'm sick of everything being usual. And I'm sick of everything being the same. And then the next scene, Chelsea quit her job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She
quit her job. And Vienna's like, wait, you did what?
Was that a good idea? Because I know people who do things like that without having a plan, and it usually doesn't really work out too well. Or it takes them maybe 3 years to move on, you know?
That's called being in your 20s.
Nah, I see people do it when they're older, though.
Oh, see, no. You pull that shit when you're in your 20s.
I feel like it... It wasn't like she was what's the word I'm looking for? It didn't seem like she was lost in the world. It seemed like she was somebody that was going to eventually get her crap together and get a new job, because she wasn't a mess. She was just someone that's like, hey, I'm smart, I'm competent, I should be able to like get this promotion, and I didn't, and it's kind of not cool that they didn't give it to me, so like, screw it, I'm moving on.
And I guess she did just inherit property in Vail, which she could probably sell for millions of dollars.
Exactly. Yeah,
she could, actually.
Like millions of dollars.
That is a nice house.
Yeah, it's very big.
Grady head. Yeah. And it's not cheap in Vail, I don't think.
No, not at all. So then she's in Vail. Like, so then she's like, says bye to Vienna. Then we see her in Vail. Vail is very pretty. And then she drives up to this place, and we see this guy, like, unloading stuff from a truck. And I wrote, because he's the male lead, I was like, oh, we've seen him before many times. So he just immediately, just for no reason, just starts giving – she parks her car. He just starts being an asshole to her for, like, no reason. Like, she didn't deserve that.
It was unwarranted, and immediately I was like, why would anyone eventually in the course of this movie fall in love with this guy? Like, what's going to be the redeeming quality about him that justifies this stupid dicky behavior right out of the gate?
Because she asked him like for directions or a question, but she was very polite. She was very nice.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, excuse me, and he was just a dick.
Yeah, he was acting like he hit her car or something, or she hit his car or something, and all she did was like pull up and say like, hey, can you tell me where this is?
And then she parked, so I guess she was parked in a tow-away zone, and he got like really hostile about that.
Yeah, because they weren't really streets, it was all like pedestrian.
Yeah, but then all you say is, oh, hey,
be nice
you know. Because she had already told him that she wasn't from there.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that she was new in town. So this is when you just say, oh, hey, well, you know what? You're new in town. Just so you know, if you park in places like that, you'll get towed. So just
Just be aware of where you park.
Just be like, hey, careful and read the signs. Because there were, in slight defense of him, there were signs posted everywhere saying no parking. So she didn't see that she's stupid, too.
Yeah, but then, she lives in L.A., though, where you have, you got, a gajillion signs.
Yeah, so she should be conditioned from living in L.A. to always read the signs.
True. That is true.
Well,
because L.A. will mess you up.
Yeah.
She was on vacation. She wasn't going to read these signs.
Yeah.
So then she, she moves her car because she's like, this guy's an asshole.
Make me question because she didn't read the sign. I'm like, oh, maybe she didn't get the promotion because she was actually bad at her old job. Maybe she missed really, really simple details all the time.
But then she turns out to be very detail-oriented, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's walking around Vale, and then she walks by this German restaurant, and they're offering half off, and she's talking to the guy. Oh, she asks the guy, hey, do you know where the grocery store is? And he's, really nice, and he's like, oh, yeah, you must be new here. Mm-hmm. Go to the grocery store. Tell him Carl sent you.
He looked like a heavy version of Mark Hamill, at his current age.
Oh yeah,
actually, kinda. You're right.
He did look a little bit like the actor that played his son, though, too.
Yeah, they did look. There was a family resemblance with this father and son.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, turned out to be the dick.
Yeah,
because after she walked away, he walked out of the building.
Yeah, Carl's the father of the angry guy.
And then he's a dick to his father, too.
Yeah.
Just a dick.
Yeah, what he's like his mean father? To his dad. Because the dad had a sign that said half off lunch special because the restaurant wasn't doing well, we find out.
Right.
And so the guy's like, why are you doing that? And like berating his father for having a half off lunch special.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't see a problem with.
No, he's trying to drum up business or he's going to have to close up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So by the way, I went to college in Germany and I lived in Germany for a number of years. So this whole part of the town that they were in was it was a German part of town. So I was watching extra closely to see if they got things correct. And for the most part, they got things correct, but they did get one thing wrong and it really bothered me.
What did they get wrong?
Okay. I'll press along and then it comes up.
Okay.
Then the grocery, so she finds That's the grocery hit. Store. She meets this woman in a drindle dressed like a German woman.
The Swiss Miss woman.
Yeah.
Right. It's in a drindle. Yeah. And
drindle.
So they start, because one thing about this town, everything's very nice. A drindle is like a dress, like the outfit.
It looks like the Swiss Miss dress. Yeah. They actually mentioned it in the movie.
Oh.
Because Chelsea thought that this girl was actually German or spoke German because she was wearing the dress. And she's like, no, it's just my uniform. I work at Edelweiss.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Everybody in this town so far is very chatty. They're very friendly, very chatty. Yeah. And so
it's weird.
So she's telling, and the girl's name was Molly. Yeah, it's Molly. And so Molly is telling, Chelsea about the city, and she's like, oh, hey, and I work at this restaurant. You should come by. And, and then she's like, come by Glühwein, which is hot wine. And
Glühwein?
Yeah. So then Chelsea then goes to her chalet. And she's met by a very breathy realtor named Bev.
Yeah.
And Bev was very breathy.
Breathy. Chabert, like a chalet.
Bev spoke very fondly of Grady. I am convinced they banged.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And so, so she calls her. It's so funny because Chelsea calls her Beverly, and she's like, no, it's Bev. And then that ended up being her thing through the whole
That's
movie.
Grady used to call me.
It's Bev. And so... So then we find out that the place is actually in the middle of getting remodeled, but it was a pretty home. It was a beautiful home.
I was three bedroom, three bath. Like,
what were they remodeling in the house? Like I was looking like, it looked like they kind of staged a lot of things in the house to look like it was being remodeled. I know we find out there's electrical work and heating. I know they put some tape up on the wall so it looked like they were painting.
Mm-hmm.
But then, okay, and this is what I got confused about, because it was all staged and stuff when she got there, right? Mm-hmm. But then when she was talking to Grouchy, Owen, the guy, the mean guy, he was like, oh, well, we were fixing it until Grady died, and I stopped fixing it when Grady died.
Mm-hmm.
There.
What was that, Liz? You cut out.
You know? I guess Owen basically, the place looked like it was like they were working on it, but mm-hmm. I guess after Grady died, he just stopped working on it but left his stuff there.
Well, Grady paid for all the supplies and stuff, like all the materials, but labor, he wasn't being paid anymore. I guess he's only paid labor up to a point. So he left
and,
all this
well,
stuff.
Well, and also, behind. Like, if that's technically part of Grady's estate, and if Grady passed away, then Owen shouldn't be working on it. It's sort of like if somebody passes away and they have a bank account, you can't access that money until it goes through probate.
Okay, yeah, because then Bev was like, because it was in mid working on, and mm-hmm. then Bev, I'll get the contractor, and so Owen the coach. Ended up being the contractor.
Yeah.
Breathy.
And so then, and I wrote here, which you did the I See Dead People, I wrote, a dead uncle counts as a dead parent.
Well, it's going to have to, because we find out both parents are alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And did we ever find out what happened to Owen's mom? They never actually said.
They never said.
They didn't even refer. They didn't even refer to her in past tense.
Oh, it was like she didn't exist.
No, but remember what later on, the father talks to the son. He tells the son that he had helped him during these hard years. So it must have been. I'm thinking that was the loss of the mom.
Could be, but I mean, they also refer to the restaurant struggling for a few years there.
Oh, maybe. Right.
Yeah, like for all we know, like they had a divorce. We don't know. Mom
True.
Just wasn't
if
around.
If it was Mark, they wouldn't mention it.
Actually, I have another theory. I have a theory that Carl, the dad, and Grady had a relationship. Because they talk a lot about how they're best friends and how Grady loved to bake. And Grady was also the pastry chef at the Edelweiss. And they have this whole history with Grady and Carl. I'm like, oh, maybe they were a couple.
Maybe.
Yeah, he did say he really liked his strudel. Who knows what that meant?
So we find out that Grouchy Owen is the contractor. And so... Owen is like, and Grady was very popular in the town. Everybody like loved Grady, everybody. So Owen was like, Grady was the best and I'll finish doing the work for you. And so, so Chelsea goes out on the balcony and she sees there's like a sign about like reach for the stars or something, didn't it say?
Look to the stars.
Look to the stars. And so then we find out that Grady loved astronomy. So then Owen apologizes for being a dick. And that's when he tells her the materials are paid for. And so Chelsea is realizing that like her workaholic tendencies have stuck with her. So she's kind of at a loss because she has no schedule. She was shocked because she didn't have her phone glued to her hip. And it was kind of a big change for her. So then Owen asks her out for dinner. And so they go to the German restaurant. And we find out that that's when he tells Chelsea that Carl is his dad. Mm-hmm. So then she's all, "Hi, Carl." And then Owen's like, "Wait, hello. You know my dad?" And then Molly comes out and she's like, "Hi, Molly." And he's like, "You know Molly too?"
Everybody knows each other. And here's Grady. He's actually still alive. Hi, Grady. I like how the musician, there's some big musician playing the in there. And, and Carl yells to him and goes, "All right, you can take a dinner break."
And the poor extra that was playing the accordion doesn't even get a line of dialogue. He just kind of shuffles up the screen. It was so sad.
Time for a dinner. You get your dinner now. You know the guy wasn't getting paid. You know, like, it was like some musician. It was like,
the restaurant was empty. Artist. The restaurant was empty.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the waitress gets paid, but not the artist. The artist gets paid in a meal.
So Carl is like, everybody's going to the high-end restaurants. And then, they sit down, and Chelsea takes the menu, and she's looking at, and she said that she likes to look at the dessert menu first, and she was like, "What? Wait, you guys don't have any strudel, and you're a German restaurant." And then we were informed that, no, ever since Grady died, we have not had strudel. Because Grady made the best strudel. Legendary.
These people were, like, the skinniest people. And their diet was, like, that of, like, a 9-year-old boy's birthday party. It was cookies and cake and strudel. I mean, I'm sitting there, like... Dude,
well,
man, scale
if
back.
They were skiing, well, if they were skiing, though, that, like, burns calories.
I thought it was funny that they made a big deal out of how strudel was, you know, that was Grady's thing, and it was a big draw of the restaurant, and the minute Grady dies, they take it off the menu. Like, if it's the big thing that's driving your sales, and you guys are hurting for business, why would you get rid of that one thing that was bringing you business?
And as soon as Grady dies,
Years.
Yeah. Like, is he dead? Okay, off to the printers we go.
It'd be like going to McDonald's. It'd be like, "Oh, Ronald McDonald died. We cannot sell those Big Macs anymore. Sorry.
All right.
No more burgers for you. Died.
Get off the menu."
So this is what got on my nerves. So Molly was like, "Oh, okay. So yeah, have a seat. And Chelsea, I'm going to get the line I told you about." So they're sitting at the table, and then Molly brings them a bottle of wine. No, 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 no. Glühwein is hot wine.
Okay.
It's hot. Okay. You don't get hot. It's not a...
Say, they heat it up like a kettle?
Yeah, no, like you make it in a pot.
Okay.
Like you make it like you're making tea or something. And it's like... Like, it's basically, how I would describe it, Glühwein is basically like hot sangria.
Yeah, okay. Sangria, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's like hot sangria.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was forming that.
Kind of like a cider, like what cider is to apple juice.
Exactly.
Okay.
That sangria is good stuff.
So when she brought out the bottle, I'm like, no, miss, no, Fraulein, that's not how it works. But so then her and Owen and Chelsea have a great conversation. They're having that deep conversation. And I think Owen said to Chelsea, "Sometimes it takes someone who doesn't really know you to know you."
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. So then he gives her a ride home, or he gives her a ride back to her car in a horse-drawn sleigh.
Yeah.
And then they're looking at the stars, and they're talking about the stars. And then she
that moment where they were talking about the stars, they talk they said something about you can't really see stars in LA, which is not true. You That's can absolutely see the stars in LA. And this is a huge pet peeve of mine in Hallmark movies, is they always have these people that are bashing living in LA, not just the city, but LA specifically. And it's like, you're literally a network that has offices in LA, and it's a huge city, and you're trying to appeal to certain people by bashing LA. It's just lazy to me.
And you know what? I hate that shit anyway. When you go to a different town and people are like, where are you from? And you're like, LA. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, yeah, when were you last in LA? Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never been there. Well, then shut the F up if you've never been here.
Yeah.
Why do people bash LA? What is it?
They always go, well, it's plastic and it's Botox.
And it's so liberal. And it's all these, it is to a point, but you're approaching it from the stereotype point of view as opposed to actually having experienced it and knowing what it's like.
And it's A, you're just mad that people get Botox because you can't afford it. B, you know, it's one thing if a person was like, hey, I lived in LA for 5 years and I hated every minute of it. And I'd be like, okay, fine, you lived here.
Yeah.
So I get it.
You gave it a try.
You experienced it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, and, you know, it's not easy for the first few years. It's not.
But so moving anywhere
new,
like,
isn't. Oh, you know what? Exactly. So, yeah, that bugs me, too.
Okay.
Okay. So he's like, she's like, well, I'm going to go back and sleep at the house. And he's like, are you sure you want to go and sleep back in the house? And she's like, no, I'm fine. It'll be fine. She goes back to the house. The heat doesn't work. The power goes out. So maybe she should have gone to a hotel. Right. Well, she was in her bedroom, though.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the next day, this next part, I don't know why this was such a bad thing. The next day, she gives him a list of stuff that needs to be done, and he gets kind of butthurt about it.
That was a little weird.
Right. Because it's like, well, that's what she's supposed to do.
Yeah. She gave him a list of, like, here are the things that I know need to be done, and here's the order I think you should do them in order of importance. And again, he was a dick about it for no reason. It's like, you work for her, A, but B, like, she's going to want them done in a certain order because she's the one that has to live there.
Right. And she wasn't out of line, and she was nice about it. Once again, she was very nice about it, too.
Yeah, helpful.
Yeah.
The other mistake she made was she hired him to work as a contractor there, but she didn't set a price. She just said, oh, have at it. That's a big mistake.
Didn't he say that it was already paid for?
The materials
were. Not the labor. He was doing work, and she didn't set a price with him.
But
I've had friends work for me, like doing like work in my house, and it's really, especially like in that situation, you put it in writing, like how much it's going to be.
He did bring Cute Rob with him, though, which I was happy about.
She did what?
He brought Cute Rob with him.
Oh, yeah. Rob was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, to help her.
Yeah.
And Rob was with the Swiss Miss Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob was cute.
And not a dick.
No. See? No. Rob was very nice.
Not everybody's a dick.
So then her and Owen are talking, and she talks about how, you know, it's just weird for her to have nothing to do because she's so used to being busy. Mm-hmm. And this is when, you know, she tells him that she was an event planner. And this is when he gets all judgy on her, like, well, you should have relaxed. You should take time and smell the roses.
Yeah, he was giving her shit about, like, the way she was job hunting and saying, like, she needs to relax. Because, like, when you're out of work, you want to be on top of that because you don't know how long you'll be out of work.
Right. And like, she's a single woman. She's got time.
She's got time to relax built in by virtue of not having a job.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And wasn't he
supposed to be working? But he's outside giving her advice.
He was basically trying to shoo her away from the house so that she would leave him alone. Which she even calls him out for.
Because then he was like, well, you should ski. And she's like, well, I don't ski. I don't skate. And then he's like, meet me at this place called Adventure Ridge.
Oh, yeah. This was the commercial for Vail right here. Adventure Ridge, gondola, skating, skiing, all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know what?
I also know there's a ton of footprints on that snow. So the crew must have been walking around all over.
Well, it worked because I want to go to Vail. I really do.
Yeah,
I do too. And I think I was there when I was a kid, actually.
I've been to Aspen, but I've never been to Vail.
I think I've been to Vail.
I did a show in Aspen. It was so amazing. Okay. So then he was like, oh, and then he was like, well, maybe you should go shopping. Like, yeah, just trying to get rid of her. So then later she shows up with a new outfit and they.
Oh, I didn't take note of that. Good eye, Les. Good eye.
Yeah. Well, he said, oh, you got a new outfit. He said something.
Oh, in fact, to be fair, he did encourage her to get a new outfit, not like a, hey, little lady, go shopping. It was more like a, go get an outfit that's appropriate for going on one of
get
these gondolas. Yeah.
Hey, little lady, go shopping. I like that approach.
So then, they take the gondola. They take the gondola to the top. Oh, and they're taking the gondola, and then we find out that he actually went to school to be an architect. Mm-hmm. But what happened is he went to school to be an architect, and then, he came home to help his dad, and he didn't intend on it staying as long as he did. And because he had, like, multiple jobs, Owen had multiple jobs. And so it was basically like, it just life kind of took, I came here, but life took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the hallmark trope. Like the guy, like, oh, he's not just a handyman. He actually has a degree in architecture.
And it was kind of like, he either I stay or my sell the place. They get to the top of the place. They get out of the gondola. Cute Rob and Molly are there, and then they go tubing, which actually looks fun.
Yeah, that is fun. I'm doing that.
I'd like to do that.
So they went tubing. Then they had the Hallmark snowball fight, then the day, Chelsea's sitting at her kitchen. Job hunting, which once again, see nothing wrong with that.
Not even job hunting, and like going through the classified. She was like calling old clients trying to drum up business.
Right. So then she goes out to see how they were progressing and she grabs a cookie and she starts talking to Owen and they're talking about the strudel and the fact that one of the reasons why they take the strudel is because Grady did it from memory. Hmm. And then Chelsea's like, well, listen, you need to find something else to stand out to get people to come to your restaurant. So then she finds a photo album. She's going through the photo album, and then she finds a paper with the constellations on it. And so it turned out that Grady renamed all of the constellations. So one of them was named after her mother.
This was another reason I thought that Grady and Carl might be a couple secretly, is that Grady had this scrapbook, which was an entire scrapbook about his niece. Which I thought was a little weird that he had this whole scrapbook dedicated to Lacey's character. And, the guy was seemingly single, never married, and really invests in his niece like it's his daughter. That's a very like older gay man kind of thing to do.
It really is.
Okay.
So then there, so she brings the album to the bakery and she's going through the album with Carl. And then all of a sudden she finds something. Ooh. It's the recipe for Grady Strudel.
Wow, you did write it down.
Right. And so, Carl is like, hey, Chelsea, have you been to Aruble Square yet? And Chelsea's like, no. And then Carl's like, well, you know, Owen, wink, wink, can take you there.
Ooh.
And then I wrote here, you know what? And this came out of nowhere. I wrote, you know, Elizabeth Shue needs to be in a Hallmark movie.
No. Why Elizabeth Shue?
I don't know. Because
she's
seeing her in Cobra Kai, it you know.
Well, she doesn't want to do that. I represent Elizabeth Shue. And no, I think she did. I think she slummed a little bit. I think there's a big public demand for her to do this, that Cobra Kai. So to her, you know, she kind of slummed a little bit. Even the guy who plays, she didn't have to do it. She didn't have a gun to her head. She's on some TV show and she's just was in that Tom Hanks movie. She's not doing some Hallmark movie. Don't listen.
I think she'd be
getting Linda Hamilton shape for season 4.
Oh, and so then Chelsea's talking to Owen and she's kind of like, well, so, you know, don't you feel like by helping your dad, don't you feel like you're kind of missing out? And Owen is like, he said something pithy. So then Chelsea's like, hey, why don't we make Uncle Grady's recipe? And who said a recipe is just a plan? One of them said it.
Oh, I don't know. Probably Chelsea.
So then there's a strudel making scene, and then they do the Hallmark. Like, they got a little close as they were making the strudel and looked at each other.
It was so stupid, though, the way they laid out the ingredients. It was like they were preparing to do a cooking segment on a morning talk show. Like, they had all of the ingredients in, like, perfectly measured out portions in bowls, all perfectly displayed on the table.
Right.
Yeah,
but then I gotta say, after they finished the strudel actually looked very good.
It looked fantastic. Way better than the first strudel that somebody made.
Were you offended though when they cut into the strudel? Because I was.
Oh really?
They cut this. The strudel's ready. They get it, and Owen gets a knife, and he cuts a piece out from the middle of the fucking strudel.
Yeah, that was kind of a dick move.
Well, because, you're going to dry it out, dumbass.
Right.
Cut from the end.
Oh okay.
That's like taking a sheet cake and just cutting a square out from the middle of the sheet cake because you don't want any of the frosting on the side.
That's what's right. No, I know. I would definitely want a corner piece of a sheet cake. So. Mm-hmm.
Same.
So then there's like a bunch of people in the town. And they're talking, and they're like, hey, we need to do something, and why don't... Oh, she's like, you know what? You want to drive business into this restaurant? Why don't you have a promotion around the strudel? Which is very smart.
Sure.
And so then she's like, why don't you have a strudel fest?
I looked up. I did a Google search on this. I did some research.
So did Lacey.
See it. We all did.
Yeah.
You know, me and Lacey and I, we are like Tweedledee, Tweedledum. No, we did. I looked
you
up
and Lacey should have a Google Doc where you can share information in the cloud.
Well, I think so. But she'd probably put out a restraining order against me. There's a Strudel Fest in Columbus, Ohio. There's one in Denver, Colorado. And there's one in Croatia.
In Croatia?
There's one in Croatia.
Oh, well, there you go.
The Strudel Fest. We will go to the Strudel Fest.
Now, Carl didn't like the name. Like, he didn't like the name Strudelfest.
Well, Carl was the entire audience at that moment, where Carl basically thought it was a stupid idea, but he just went along with it.
But then Breathy Bev was like, is there going to be dancing? I like dancing.
Beth's easy to please. And Carl has weird hair.
Yeah. Right. A little bit.
And then.
Yeah.
And then Carl is like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and then cool. I forgot to mention. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, Carl seems like he suffers from depression or something. He it's tough for him to kind of get through the day. You know,
well, his business is struggling.
Help a guy out.
He's angry at himself because he never lived as his true self with his lover Grady. He's got this son who's a dick all the time, and his business is failing.
Yeah. So what I forgot to mention is they were looking at Owen. Owen and Chelsea were looking at the stars again, and they were telling the story about. The two stars in love or something, and they're light years apart or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so then, of course, the other Hallmark trope, where are we going to have the party? And then they go into this room, and it's a big, messy room.
Whoops. Oh, yeah, and a real mess. This is another thing I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I guess they do a decent job staging, but if you ever walk in some crazy storage room like that, it's a...
spacious storage area I've ever seen. It's like they called it as if it was supposed to be this huge mess, and it was really like two storage containers in the middle of the room, and that was it.
And so clean. Yeah. I guess the cleaning lady takes care of this crowded storage room because it was, you could lick the floor and you'd be healthy as a horse.
So then they figured that they needed to get some kind of local celebrities on board
to judge. Now I thought this was stupid that they're having they're basically trying to bring attention to the restaurant, bring in customers that love this strudel from the restaurant that they just found the recipe for. So they're going to have a strudel fest to promote the strudel. And let's hire chefs from competing restaurants to judge a strudel contest in which they don't even think until the very last second that they themselves should enter.
Right.
I don't even understand what's going on anymore.
Chefs from a high-end restaurant.
Yeah,
they're trying to bring people into their restaurant for their strudel, and they're bringing in they're opening up to other restaurants, so other restaurants will get the promotion. It's their idea.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Hey, we want to bring customers to our restaurant, but you guys should all come here and promote yourselves too.
This is why we have so many problems.
Back to my original theory that the character of Chelsea might actually be bad at her job.
Oh.
So they go to this one place, though. They go to this one restaurant where they had to cross-country ski to the restaurant, which that actually looked fun.
That did. I would do that.
Yeah.
I would. You're like skiing on flat land.
Yeah. And so they go to Chef Frankie's restaurant. And I like how everybody, whenever they would mention Strudelfest, the person would go, what? What are you talking about?
What are you nuts? I think that Asian woman in there, I think she bumped uglies with Owen at some point.
Oh, I think too. Yeah, I think Frankie and Owen had a thing too.
Yeah. Frankie.
Because when Chelsea brought up the prospect of, like, let's get judges, Owen's like, oh, I know someone.
Right, let's go.
Let me check my little black book.
So one of the guys talked about, you know, they were getting other people at the different restaurants, and one of the guys is like, I'll make strudel ice cream.
And they thought that was such a radical idea, but didn't think the strudel-inspired cocktail sounded radical. Strudel ice cream actually sounds like, oh, that'd be easy to make. You take vanilla and put bits of strudel in there, and it's an ice cream.
Right.
Sure. Right. That ice cream is going to overpower the strudel. All right. I need it.
And then I like that someone brought up a practical question. How are we paying for this?
Yeah.
the answer is you're paying for it.
Yeah. The person that asked, by the way, was Frankie. So you know that's why she and Owen broke up. He probably always had these dumb ideas. He's just like, oh, who's paying for that? Me? Right, freeloader. Right.
For my successful restaurant?
Yeah.
She's practical. Listen, handyman.
Frankie's restaurant was packed.
Yeah.
Frankie had like a full restaurant as opposed to Carl, who had nobody in there.
Yeah, it was a fondue restaurant. I love that.
Yeah, right.
That sounds good. Some fattening stuff.
So then they're fixing up the room, and as they're fixing up the room, I guess cleaning up turned Owen on, because then he started looking at her like he was falling in love with her as they cleaned.
They were just moving the same three boxes back and forth.
That's a fetish. Remember My Own Private Idaho? The guy makes River Phoenix clean his place in his underwear. And he's like, I want this to be immaculate.
So there's a whole maid service that has naked people come in and clean your house.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was a plot on Broad City once, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, here in LA, Kurt, there are these vans around town, and you can get. And it's an ad for nude maids.
Yeah, topless maids. Yep.
Nude maids. Yep. All right. Yeah.
But I would be like, don't sit down on anything.
No. Nude maids don't want to clean my place right now. It's kind of drafty.
Oh, so Chelsea's talking to Owen. Chelsea's talking to Owen again about his career. And Owen is like, you know what? It's not about doing what you love. Family comes first. And it's like, gee, you make it sound so fun, Owen. Then there's a strudel fest montage. Then they go to the swanky hotel to get this other chef to judge the contest,
which also has clearly banged Owen.
Oh, you think?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't sure about that one. Boy, it's worked his way through this town.
Yeah.
It's a small town.
Yeah.
He got nude maid service for free.
And then she actually made this hot chocolate that looked kind of cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really extra, but it sounded really good.
Gold.
Yeah.
But I did some research on this, too. You can eat gold.
Yeah.
It's a noble metal, and therefore does not react within the human body. But don't eat like a necklace or anything, because if gold's mixed with stuff might not.
Haven't you ever had Goldschlager?
Right, Goldschlager is a whole drink.
That was my birthday shot on my 21st birthday was Goldschlager. It was so disgusting.
I
would do Goldschlager and wake up next to questionable people.
Next to gold tooth people. Now, is that an expensive drink?
No.
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 There's just flakes of gold, like small flakes of gold in it.
Goldschlager is probably one of the worst hangovers you will ever have. No,
I don't think I've had it. What is it? Whiskey? Is that a shot?
It's like a liqueur of some sort. I don't even know how I would describe it. It tastes like licorice. And I don't like licorice anyway. It's like licorice with gold flakes, and it's gross.
I don't like licorice. So I wouldn't
and
like
a lot of bars have like cheap Goldschlager shots.
No, I don't want that.
So Chelsea is actually talking to who was she talking to when her phone rang? Was she talking to Owen when her phone rang? She didn't pick it up for once.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because he even says something. He's like, oh my gosh, you actually didn't, your phone rang and you didn't pick it up.
They're sitting and eating more pastries like pigs.
Right.
It never stops.
But they cross country skied, so that's why you do things like cross-country skiing, so you don't have to watch your calories.
And they move those boxes back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, it's the workout.
So then Chelsea goes home And her friend, Vienna from LA, is sitting in front of her house.
In the freezing cold.
On a suitcase. Mm-hmm. And so then we find out Vienna got a promotion. Nice. Good for Vienna. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that Trish sent Vienna to Vail to talk to Chelsea, because the guy who took the job that Chelsea was supposed to get actually didn't work out, and Trish wants to fire him. But I do love the fact that Trish is like, okay, listen, Vienna, if you go and talk to Chelsea, you will get an all expenses paid weekend in Vail.
Well,
so go for it.
Oh yeah, she'll go. She doesn't know if it's going to be successful or not.
Right, but still, it's a weekend in Vail. Hey, why not? Mm-hmm.
That's some friend, though. Like a Trojan horse. She comes in as a friend, but actually she's got a...
Well, but then Vienna was open about it. Like, she was like, well, this is why I'm here, and she wants to talk to you.
When she gets Chelsea's in the
like, well, tell her. Chelsea's like, well, tell her I'll talk to her after the weekend is over. So then it's win-win for Vienna. So Vienna got her job done immediately, so she can enjoy the rest of her weekend in Vail.
Okay.
So then we find out the guy who talked about strudel ice cream actually made the strudel ice cream. And then Vienna's meeting everybody, and, you know, she's taking, you know, because now Chelsea's popular. So Chelsea's like, hey, Vienna, look at all my new friends. Hmm. And then we find out from Carl that if Strudelfest isn't a success, he's going to sell the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, high stakes.
And so, yeah. So Owen and Chelsea decide to create a conflict of interest and enter the contest.
Which, again, this is when I became enraged, because I said, wait, was it the entire point of this whole fest to relaunch the strudel?
Right.
So why wasn't it part of it? That's so stupid.
Right.
And they also, they got this thing together quick, too. I mean, this is like
2 weeks.
And they had flags and banners and all kinds of stuff going on.
So then they're at, like, a strudel fest party. And then now Chelsea's actually starting to make connections and get gigs. Because this one woman who owned a bookstore was like, hey, Chelsea, why don't you plan it? You know, this is a great event. Why don't you plan something for my bookstore? Mm-hmm. So it's good. And so then they have the contest, and Owen's like, I bet you a dance that we're going to win. And then Breathy Bev won. And they said, the winner is Beverly. And she said, no, just Bev.
Yeah. And then she self-promotes. She gets up there to get her the word. She's like LL Cool J years ago when he won a Grammy. I don't even think he won a Grammy. He just went up to like give a Grammy. You know, it's a bad example. So never mind on the LL Cool J thing. But the point is,
I think LL Cool J hosted the Grammys.
Well, whatever it was, he got up and promoted like his album. And it was like seemed kind of tacky at the time. And that's what Bev does. She goes up, she says, well, if anybody wants to sell their house,
I applaud Bev, because she's the only person involved in this strudel fest that got the whole point of what they were doing. Let's promote our local businesses. Even the person that put it together, Chelsea, didn't understand that.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
That's good. I'd like to have a strudel. I'd be a good strudel judge.
Oh yeah, you'd be great.
Oh, you would. Oh, Kurt, please, you would totally be good. Even though they didn't win, Owen's like, well, no, you owe me a dance anyway, because the place is full, so we did win.
Doesn't work that way.
So then Vienna gets a call from Trish, and then Chelsea and Owen are dancing, but then Vienna cock blocks her because Trish is on the phone, and Trish is like, come back. I'm desperate. I'll give you anything. I'll make you VP of whatever you want to be. Name your salary.
Corner office.
Corner office. And so then Chelsea's no dummy. Chelsea's like, wait, she said, name your salary. I'll take it. And I own a a chalet in Vail. So then Chelsea says to Owen, dreams aren't real and we don't know what dreams aren't real and we don't know what happens and when we wake up or something pithy like that. So Owen is actually being a good sport about Chelsea leaving, because Chelsea's like, Owen, I'm out. I've tried looking for a job. I can't find a job. I've got this chalet to pay for. It's not going to pay for itself now that you fixed it.
It could. She could rent it out.
True. She could Airbnb it. That.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that like she was selling it right away. I'm like, well, why? It's already paid for. Like, it's not like you have to pay mortgage payments. It's paid for. You inherited it.
Right. So then Owen gives her just a hug, like a goodbye hug, like bye, later.
Oh, but as far as her selling it, she would have to still take care of it. And there's still property tax and stuff like that.
Yeah, but again, you said, you know, she could rent it out or she can come, you know, she's getting a huge raise at her new job. She's naming her own price.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to own some investment property at that point?
Some people don't like to do that, but I would definitely do that. Yeah.
So then Chelsea leaves. So yes, she's leaving and we see Bev putting up a for sale sign. And then back in LA, Chelsea's back in LA. She's very busy once again.
Yeah.
And Trish is very happy that she's back. But Chelsea is very sad that she's back. And Chelsea's like, and my hot chocolate doesn't have gold flakes in it.
Aww.
And then Chelsea's like, I miss the person who I was male. And then Vienna, who's probably sick of her bitching about it at this point, was just like, okay, you know what? Go back. Just go.
That was some corner office, too. It looked like a giant cubicle.
Yeah.
I wonder if Chelsea threw Vienna a solid and said, hey, Vienna should have this job. But, so then we're back in Vail. The restaurant is packed. Carl is very popular. We find out Owen got an architecture, you call it an architecture job. Mm-hmm. He got an architecture job. Strudelfest made it into the guidebook. So it's popular.
They talked about that, there was some sort of researcher that got something published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Like, they're literally talking about the city of Vail and how they made the guidebook in Vail, which you buy space in. Like, if you're in one of those guidebooks, there's like a company that comes around and sells ad space to every single like resort in the area.
Oh, we find out Bev and Carl are dating.
Yeah.
Bev and Carl are dating now.
Ooh.
And then Carl then gives Owen a lecture like, I can't believe you were such an idiot and let Chelsea get away. Yeah. And he's like, and by the way, go clean up your damn tools. Bev is trying to sell this house.
Owen starts eating a piece of cake. They're always on this cake and cookies and sweets and strudels and ice cream, and it never ends.
But Carl's like, listen, I'm dating Bev now, and you left your tools in the house, and she won't stop bitching about it, so will you please go and get your tools so I don't have to hear about it anymore?
Sounds like Bev's a pain in the ass.
Maybe Carl just misunderstood Bev when she said, Carl, I need your tools.
Get that lazy son of yours to...
Well, Carl didn't look like he was on it 100%.
Well, he's still trying to come Carl to terms with his sexuality 7 years later.
True. So then Owen goes to pick up the tools, and he hears someone in the house, and he goes upstairs, and it's Chelsea staring off into the stars on top of the balcony, which that was weird. It's like, why don't you just go to the German place and tell Owen you're back?
Yeah.
Well, high drama.
But Chelsea's looking off into the night, looking at the stars. And then she talks about Starlight. And I wrote here, Starlight, blah, 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 blah. Then they kiss. Then she tells Owen, oh, guess what? I'm going to be an event planner here in Vail. And that was it.
Well, the moral of the story was she didn't want to work. She was like, I'm tired of all this working. She didn't sound like that. She was tired of all the working at her job. So now she's going to go to Vail.
She wasn't good at it.
She wasn't good at it.
She wasn't good at her job.
She's not good at any job. She's not good at working. So now she's just going to walk around in the snow forever.
So that was it.
Well, that was lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see Lacey. I would love to see Lacey Chabert on one of the Wrong movies.
Yeah. Well, she definitely could do that.
It'd be fun to see her be the villain.
I would love it, and I bet she'd be good at it. Yep. I bet it would be so jarring, it would be amazing.
Well, I mean, she was one of the mean girls.
Well, I bet, though, she's been playing these roles for these Hallmark roles for so long that I bet she would do an evil role and, like, kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, enjoy the hell out of it.
Like what does she do? What does she do? She does, like, one of these a year or twice a year?
Probably, like, two or three a year, yeah.
Okay. And is there anything else that she does?
No, she doesn't need to do anything else.
So you could do two Hallmark movies a year and you could live off that?
I think at that level you can, yeah. I think at what someone like a Lacey or a Candace Cameron Bure or Danica McKellar, I think they could probably do maybe two or three and live comfortably for a year off that.
Oh, yeah.
Three.
Oh, yeah.
So you do two, you're working for maybe 2 months. Oh. How long does it take to shoot this thing?
I bet it's like a 8 or 10 day shoot. Yeah.
8 or 10 days. And then she does promotion. So she gets hair something for that.
Mm-hmm. And then think of it. Lori Loughlin, when they got rid of her, that gave them extra money to throw into her salary.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
So no, Lacey is like the face of the channel. So I'm sure she does very well.
Yeah.
Then she has like another like couple months maybe of working, and then she has 10 months a year to do whatever she wants.
Yeah. And Lacey's smart because she bakes in vacation into her shoot. So she's like, I'll do the movie where I get to go to a safari in Africa and we're gonna shoot in Africa. Sure.
Right. And then when we're done shooting, you know, I'll go on a little side trip we're done just to chill out.
Oh, she does animated voices. She's appeared in 18 Hallmark Channel movies and 4 Hallmark movies and mysteries movies.
And Lacey was in that. It was in that cartoon. I like the Thornberries or whatever.
The Wild Thornberries.
Thornberries. Yeah. Yes. I used to watch that cartoon.
That went on for a while. 1998 to 2004. Okay.
Yes.
And 2 feature films of that as well.
And then remember, after all, her dad was the inventor of toaster strudel.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, a callback to strudel. I didn't even get that.
Really?
I didn't even make that. No, it's a line in Mean Girls, Kurt.
She's like, remember, my dad did invent toaster strudel.
Oh, somebody was aware of that. This says she was also the voice of Meg Griffin during the first season of Family Guy.
She was, yep.
Oh. Okay, so Lacey's doing fine.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
But she probably gets residuals from that.
Gets residuals from that, from Party of Five, from Mean Girls, all of it.
Oh, yeah, she's fine. And you know how Lacey got her start, right?
In Les Miserables?
No, as Bianca Montgomery in All My Children. She was Erica Kane's daughter.
Okay, because this says she was in Les Miserables on Broadway before she was in Party of Five.
But she was also on All My Children before she was on Party of Five. It was Bianca Montgomery.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anywho.
A lot of voice work. Okay.
Right. Well, if you want to get a hold of us, you can see me... at my website, Les Kirkendall Barrett. Also, I have a few other podcasts. If you like TV shows on Bravo, if you like reality stars, I called The Reality Reading Rainbow, where I try to make sense of them. I also have guests. This week, I have the YouTuber Andrew from Andrew's Lifestyle. He is a teenage reality show aficionado, and I interview Andrew's Lifestyle. So check that out. Or if you like soap operas, you can check out my soap opera podcast, Soap Opera Love in the After, where I talk about your favorite British soaps and your favorite American soaps. Jason.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. And you can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. Kurt.
I'm at KurtFitzpatrick.com. It's Kurt with a K. And you can find go to Fringe Live Stream on Facebook and scroll down and you can see my comedy special, The Kurt Fitzpatrick Made It This Far Holiday Special. It's still there to be seen, I think.
And did anybody say to give us a review?
Oh, give no. Us a review. Yeah, please give us a 5-star review on whatever podcasting platform you listen to us on, or whatever the highest rating is. If they have a 10-star system, give us 10 stars. But whatever the highest stars are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's it. I will talk to you guys next week when we talk about a Lifetime movie. So until then, bye.
Bye. Bye.